Let's turn in God's word, please, to Genesis 41. Genesis 41, please. And we will commence our reading at verse 53. And we will read through into verse, or chapter 42, down to verse 8. Genesis 41, commencing at verse 53. Let us hear the word of the living God. And the 7 years of plenteousness that was in the land of Egypt were ended. And the 7 years of dearth began to come, according as Joseph had said. And the dearth was in all lands, but in all the land of Egypt there was bread. And when all the land of Egypt was famished, the people cried to Pharaoh for bread. And Pharaoh said unto all the Egyptians, Go unto Joseph, and what he saith to you, do. And the famine was over all the face of the earth, and Joseph opened all the storehouses and sold unto the Egyptians. And the famine waxed sore in the land of Egypt. And all countries came into Egypt to Joseph for to buy corn, because that the famine was so sore in all lands. Now when Jacob saw that there was corn in Egypt, Jacob said unto his sons, Why do you look one upon another? And he said, Behold, I have heard that there is corn in Egypt. Get you down thither and buy for us from thence, that we may live and not die. And Joseph's 10 brethren went down to buy corn in Egypt. But Benjamin, Joseph's brother, Jacob sent not with his brethren, for he said, Lest peradventure mischief befall him. And the sons of Israel came to buy corn among those that came, for the famine was in the land of Canaan. And Joseph was the governor over the land, and he it was that sold to all the people of the land. And Joseph's brethren came and bowed down themselves before him with their faces to the earth. And Joseph saw his brethren, and he knew them, but made himself strange unto them, and spake roughly unto them. And he said unto them, Whence come ye? And they said, From the land of Canaan to buy food. And Joseph knew his brethren, but they knew not him. We'll end our reading there, and the Lord will bless his truth to our hearts. Let's again unite in prayer to ask God's help for the preaching and the hearing of his own inspired truth. Let's pray. Our gracious Father in heaven, we thank thee for everything that has happened already in this morning worship service. We thank thee for the privilege to hear the word of God read. We thank you, Father, for the privilege of offering prayer unto thee and being allowed to sing praise and to use the faculty of the voice, Lord, to lift up, Lord, our praise unto thee and to glorify thee. And now, Father, we come to the central part of this morning worship. It is the preaching and the hearing of thy word. We thank thee for thy word. Thy word is truth. And Father, I ask now, as I stand in need of thy help and thy spirit, that thou would fill me with God the Holy Ghost and make me an able minister. Give me the grace that I need to glorify Jesus Christ. Wash me in that precious blood. And make me a vessel, O God, and take me up in thine hand, and use me, O God, for the glory of thy great name. Lord, remember all that are sitting, Lord, sitting here present in these four walls, and those, O God, who are listening on and watching on via the webcast. O come, O Holy Ghost, and speak to every heart we ask of thee. Lord, still us in thy presence. Lord, captivate every heart. Lord, fill this atmosphere with the presence of God. May the power of the Almighty come down and brood over our gathering and take the word and apply it as he does see fit. We pray, O God, that thou would hear us in heaven, thy dwelling place. And let the smile of God be upon us and lift up the light of thy countenance upon us. We ask of thee, O our God, and bless us as we have come to sit at thy feet. For all these things we asked in our Saviour's name, and for his and thine everlasting praise and glory. Amen. We again turn to the life of Joseph this first Lord's Day morning of 2020. And just to refresh your mind and to bring us up to the point where we left off the last time, we considered the last time we looked at the life of Joseph, Joseph, God's prime minister. We looked at Joseph's policy and how he was not puffed up with pride and did not, as it were, indulge himself with worldly ease, but he was a man of industry. And he went about the nation and throughout the land implementing and overseeing the work for himself, for he knew the lives of many depended on it. Then we thought about Joseph's posterity. And though he became all things to all men, giving no offense in cultural differences, Joseph, by naming his children with Hebrew names, Manasseh and Ephraim, he demonstrates to us that he did not forget the God of his fathers. He dwelt upon the sweetness of what God added to his life, and that caused him to forget all the bitterness. And in that way, he became fruitful in soul in the land of his affliction. And we finished with the words of verse 53. In the 7 years of plenteousness that was in the land of Egypt were ended. Now, famine was on the horizon. A nation is only ever one harvest away from famine. And so it was in the land of Egypt. One harvest season, the field brought forth plenty, but the next, the harvest field was empty. But the nation of Israel, or Egypt, had been forewarned, and to be forewarned is to be forearmed, and so preparation had been made. Now, famines in the Bible were mostly caused by drought. Sometimes they occurred because of destructive hailstorms or ravaging of insects or by the plundering of enemies or the siege of a city. Sometimes a famine was brought about by a disease like mildew, as we read in Haggai. We think in Ireland the great famine of 1845 to 1849 was caused by the potato blight, a fungal mildew. And in that great famine, over 1 million people died, and through death and emigration, the population of Ireland declined by 20 to 25%. And so famine has a devastating impact upon people. We can see that in the images that we have before us on news reports. It brings great suffering to individuals. The famines that Israel experienced were often severe and lasted for years. And during such times, starving people, they were reduced to eating things like the heads of animals, garbage, dung, even human flesh. God had said to Moses many years later that famine was a form of his judgment for disobedience of his people. Yet not all famines were the result of divine retribution. Some were used by the Lord to bring about his covenantal purposes. See, many years before what we read here, it was predicted that the covenant people of God should be afflicted in a strange land for 400 years, and God was going to use a famine to bring this about. The family of Jacob must be driven into Egypt, and there they would increase to a nation, and by affliction and by oppression, they would be prepared to enter into the promised land. It is remarkable that not only Jacob, but his fathers, Abraham and Isaac, had both experienced famine in Canaan and were driven into Egypt by reason of it. Now, the 7 years of famine began, and from the narrative, we find that not only Egypt was impacted, but we read in verse 54 that all the land of Egypt, and the dearth was in all lands. Now that means all the surrounding lands of Egypt. All the neighboring countries were impacted by this great dearth. The small word, but, brings a shaft of light into this darkening scene. In verse 54, but in all the land of Egypt, there was bread. Now this morning, I want to take my title from the story of the prodigal son, who said in the midst of a famine that there was bread enough and to spare in his father's house. And that's what we will consider this morning. There's bread, enough and to spare. Now the first thing I want us to notice is the filled garner. The filled garner. The 7 years of plenty had passed, and now the famine had begun to take hold in the land, just as Joseph had said. There was a perfect fulfillment of what he had foretold. Now, we are not told what caused this dearth to come upon the land. Many have suggested that as Pharaoh's dreams had a close connection with the Nile, as it was from there that the cattle and the ears of corn came forth, many have suggested that it was the drying up of that great river upon which Egypt was so dependent that caused the famine to come upon the lands. We read in Job 12, verse 15, that God withholdeth the waters, and they dry up. Also he sendeth them out, and they overturn the earth. God was in sovereign control. Now the people, they began to cry out when their own stock and supply was eaten up. Their cupboards were empty and their bellies ached with hunger. And so they made their appeal unto Pharaoh. They were not ignorant of the economic policy that was carried out in the 7 years of plenty. They had been taxed of a fifth of their produce. And now the wisdom of laying up for the time of need and making preparation was about to be manifested. Go to Joseph, is what Pharaoh responded unto all the Egyptians. And he said, what he saith to you, do. Here was a people, they were at the point of death. They had not even the basic necessity of bread to meet their need, and they were in danger of starvation. Yet there was one who was able to meet their need. Joseph had garners and granaries that were filled with the grain, with the bread that they needed. Now the shadow and the picture of Jesus Christ is so vivid in this portion that we must remain here and gaze upon our greater Joseph. You see, God in the gospel directs us and directs those who apply to him and call out to him for grace and mercy to go unto the Lord Jesus Christ. The words of Pharaoh are an echo of Mary. For at that wedding at Canaan, she said, whatsoever he, that is Christ, saith unto you, do. Mary knew that all sufficiency was found in her son. And that day at the wedding, there was a lack, there was a want, there was a need. But the Lord Jesus Christ supplied the need of those that were present there. Now, Joseph had obviously foreknowledge that the people would be in want, that there would be a famine, even though he did not cause it. And even so, our Lord Jesus Christ, he saw the fall and famine of man into sin, even though he did not cause it. And yet, by his foreknowledge and foresight, he made preparation for them. Just as Joseph built the storehouses and filled them in anticipation of the famine, so too Christ in the covenant of grace provided for the needs of his people before the world began. He is the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. And yet it was not until the people came and acknowledged their need and asked Joseph for bread that he did something. And so it is with God. Even though this preparation, even though the sovereign eternal decree is from eternity past, it is not until individuals come, come to God and make their appeal to him, acknowledging their own inefficiency, that he supplies them out of his own great sufficiency. Now, what did Joseph do? What did Joseph do when the people came unto him? Well, it tells us in verse 56, and Joseph opened all the storehouses. Joseph was the one that opened the storehouses by royal authority. We have seen earlier in the chapter that power and authority was committed and bestowed unto Joseph. And the bounty of God's storehouse of everlasting grace can only be bestowed upon us in and through Jesus Christ. Listen to Philippians 4:19. My God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. All things pertaining to life and godliness, all grace, all mercy, all salvation have been given into the hands of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, this is not to say that the Son is inferior to God the Father. For Christ, in Christ's divine nature, all fullness of God's essence resides as he is God. But it does mean, as Jesus Christ, the Son of the everlasting God, submitted himself to become the mediator of the covenant of grace, that all things were committed into his hands. Now we read of this in John 3:35. And Christ is speaking there, and he says, the Father loveth the Son, and hath given all things into his hand. Now, as God the Son from eternity, he had all things. But here, in his office as mediator, committed unto him was all things by the Father. Now, we have two examples of things that were committed unto him. As our mediator in John 5, if you turn to that chapter, John chapter 5, and there we see two things that are committed into the hand of the Son of Man. John 5. And look at verse 22. Again, it is the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. John 5:22. For the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son. And so we have it and see it there, that the judgment, that great judgment at the last day, is given over unto the Son. It is the Son that will judge the world in righteousness. The one who has been offended, the one who has been rejected, he is the one who will be the judge at the last day. Then in verse 35, we read of something else that has been committed into the hands of Christ the mediator. Verse 35. Sorry, I think I have possibly the wrong verse there. But it's in the chapter 37. It's in 37. And the Father himself which has sent me have borne witness of me. Ye have neither heard his voice at any time, nor seen his shape. And ye have not his word abiding in you, for whom he hath sent him, ye believe not. It's on back in the chapter, and I just can't lay my eyes upon the verse, but it says, I have the wrong reference here. It says, for as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to his Son to have life in himself. We can compare that with verse 21. For as the Father raiseth up the dead and quickeneth them, even so the Son quickeneth whom he will. Now you want eternal life from God, sinner? Well, you must receive it from the one whom God has appointed and committed these things unto. You must receive eternal life from Jesus Christ. You can't get at the storehouse of grace any other way but through the Savior. And I ask you this morning, have you come personally to Jesus Christ? Have you come to the one upon whom or unto whom God has committed all things? Not only saving grace, But all grace is found in and through Jesus Christ. For in him resides the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Ephesians 1 and 3 tells us that all blessings and bounty is found in Christ. He is everything we need. And why is it all found in Christ? Why is Christ the individual that we need to go to if we are to have these graces from God? Not only saving grace, but standing grace, sustaining grace. Why is it in Christ? Well, it tells us in Colossians 1 that it pleased the Father. It is God's sovereign pleasure that Christ might be preeminent in all things. That's why all men are commanded to go to Christ and to come to God through Jesus Christ. For Christ is to have the preeminence in all things, just as Pharaoh told all the nations, all the people that came to him, go to Joseph. So God says to all men in this world, go to Jesus Christ. For God will not give his glory unto another. And all his glory is bound up in his dear Son. You need to come to Christ. And through Christ. And that's not only sinner, but that's saint as well. All blessings and graces that we need for life come through our Savior. Christ, he filled these storehouses in time. And he came and he lived that life of perfect obedience and wrought for us a righteousness that is imputed to all those who repent and call upon him in faith. He went to the cross and shed his precious blood that through him we might be justified. The storehouse is full. And he alone has capacity to contain all fullness, for he is the eternal Son. He has the wisdom to distribute these graces. He is all fullness forever, immutable and undiminished, even though all the saints through all the ages continually draw from him. His is a storehouse that will never run out. We will never empty the supplies of God's grace. Joseph opened the storehouses to all who came. Not just the Egyptians, but all lands. Round about, and in that way he was a savior to all the nations. And so too Christ is a savior of the world. Not the Jews only, but the Gentiles. Yes, the Gentiles. That all who are hungry and famishing in their soul come to Christ and you will receive the bread of life. Sinners find abundant and free grace in him. Though the storehouses were filled, they would have brought no glory to Joseph and would have done no good for the people if he had not opened them. You know, Joseph's glory was not that he had plenty, but that he delighted to distribute it. What joy it must have given Joseph to see people coming to him to give them the bread that they needed, to alleviate their want, to satisfy their hunger, to save them from certain death. That's why he built the storehouses in the first place. That's why he filled them, that men and women and young people would come unto him, that they would eat and live. That is the joy that was set before our Savior as he went to the cross to fill God's garner with grace. This is the glory of the Redeemer, that he delighteth in mercy. It's not that there is abundant grace in him, but he delights in distributing it and giving it to all who call upon him, to all that come to him, that they might take from him and eat and live. Have you done that? Sinner, have you done that? Have you come to him? Because our God, he delights in mercy. But the type always breaks down in a certain point. You will find that in Scripture. The type, the picture, the shadow will always break down in one point. And so it is here with the account of Joseph. Look at verse 56 again. And Joseph opened all the storehouses and sold unto the Egyptians. Then verse 57, and all the countries came into Egypt to Joseph for to buy. To buy. Yet what does the Lord cry in Isaiah 55 verse 1? Ho, everyone that thirsteth. Come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye buy. Yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. The essentials for life and eternity. They are without money, they are without price. We are not asked to bring to God the currency of our self-righteousness or our deeds. Or our religious exercises. But we are told that grace is without money and it is without price. We also have the same sentiment expressed in Revelation 22:17. Let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. Freely. By faith we are to make our journey to Christ, with empty hands and empty sacks, and he will laden us down with his grace, because his garner is full. Is your life empty? No meaning, no purpose. Child of God, there's a great need, a great lack in your life. Well, go to the garner. Go to Christ, and he will laden you with grace without money and without price. The filled garner. Secondly, we move into chapter 22. And in verses 1 to 3, we notice the Father's guidance. Now, I will be brief, but I trust you'll forgive me for dwelling on that picture of Christ. But it tells us in verse 1, now when Jacob saw that there was corn in Egypt, Jacob said unto his sons. The word saw stands for heard. When Jacob heard. And it's similar to that which we read in Exodus 20 verse 18. And all the people saw the thunderings. Now we know that you hear thunder and you see lightning. But it really is just the way that the Holy Spirit substitutes one sense for another, but the meaning is the same. And this is confirmed by the next verse, verse 2. And he said, behold, I have heard that there is corn in Egypt. And the good news of the hope of the preservation of his family somehow reached the ears of the patriarch. He had heard about the vital thing that his family needed, plus he had heard of where it was to be found. It would have been no good to hear about bread and not know to where to go and get it. So Joseph gives guidance to his sons. He gives them some sound, practical advice. Why do you look one upon another? Behold, I have heard that there is corn in Egypt. Get you down thither and buy for us from thence that we may live and not die. Why do you look upon another? Moses' inquiry. And Joseph's words, they resemble those of the four lepers. Why sit we here until we die? Why sit in despair when there's a door of hope? Why were his sons lazy and careless and slack? None of them spoke up in wise counsel of how they were to alleviate their need. If Jacob heard of the rumors and reports of bread in Egypt, no doubt his sons heard the same. But they stood speechless. each waiting for the other to act, with no one attempting anything. They were masters and fathers of their own family. And not only their own lives depended on it, on finding food, but also their lives of their little ones. And Jacob censures them here for their inactivity. Why are they delaying? The report has come, a door of hope, a door of opportunity. There's preservation to be found. There is the essential for life to be found from a man down there in Egypt. Why are you delaying? Why are you sitting there looking at one another, not getting up and going? Look at your children, and they're starting to be emancipated or emancipated. There they are, their bones are beginning to stick out, and you're sitting there in your slothfulness and in your slackness. What about you, sinner? Why are you delaying? You've heard the good news. You've heard the gospel. You've heard about saving grace and where you can find it, that the Lord, with the Lord there is mercy, and with Him there is plenteous redemption. And yet you do nothing about it. What about you, unsaved father? And your little ones are born into the same estate of misery and sin in which you are born into. And you haven't went and got the bread of life. You haven't went and received Jesus Christ, the one whom your children could too partake of, whom you could teach about and encourage them to come to, that they too might eat and live. And yet you sit there. Now why did the brethren look one upon another? Why did Jacob have to tell them there was corn in Egypt and suggest to them the obvious course of action of going down there to buy? Why? Why did they sit? Conscience. Conscience. That's why they sat. It was not just the famine that made them so helpless and afraid. Their conscience was now awakened and filled them with fears. To them, Egypt is a dreaded name. The road to Egypt is haunted by the memory of an awful crime. That's why they stole. And yet they knew not that it was in Egypt they would find peace for their troubled soul, as well as sustenance for their body. Jacob gives them guidance. Get you down thither, and buy for us from hence that we may live and not die. Jacob clearly discerned that while it was right for them to look to God for help in their distress, it was also expected of them by God that they should help themselves when provision had been made. They had a responsibility to act upon what they had heard. And so do you, sinner. You have a responsibility to act upon what you have heard. Just as Jacob commanded his sons to go and get corn, God commands you to go and get bread for your soul. And the sons, they listened to their father's advice. For we read in verse 3, and Joseph's 10 brethren went down to buy corn in Egypt. Interesting how the Spirit records it. Joseph's 10 brethren. He doesn't record it as Jacob's 10 sons. Why? Joseph is the one in view. Joseph is the one they have offended. And Joseph is the one who would prove to be their savior. Why? When Joseph was elevated from the prison to become prime minister, why? Why did he not send a message to his mourning father? Did you ever think about that? Why did he not send a servant out from the land of Egypt and say to his father, "Father, all is well. Come." Well, some have suggested that he did not know the state of affairs at home, or that he did not want to open up the dark treachery of his brothers to his aged father. But I believe it was with an eye of faith to those early childhood dreams. All Joseph's subsequent experiences from that day as a lad of 15, all his experience through life taught him that God would fulfill his word. And submissive trust, he would not put his hand. He would not put his hand upon anything, but leave it to God. It was too delicate a matter for him to interfere with God's divine ordering of things. He leaves it all in the hand of God. And he stands and he waits in silent hope at the doors of the storehouse for his brothers and his fathers to come and partake of what he has laid up for them. And it was about to come to pass. For there was a group of 10 trembling, convicted brothers making their way down a dusty trade route into the land of Egypt. Child of God, sinner, Christ stands. He stands at his storehouse. And he's looking, he's beholding, he's waiting for both saint and sinner alike to come to him and to partake of what he has laid up for us. He stands ready freely to give. He is more ready to give than we are to receive. It is out of his infinite riches that is in Christ Jesus that God giveth. And he giveth, and he giveth again. There's bread, enough and to spare. And Joseph opened all the storehouses of Egypt. And Joseph's 10 brethren went down to buy corn in Egypt. May we all come to Christ today. As children of God in our need, as we are poor and needy, may we come to him and draw from him the grace we need. Sinner, you need to come to him. You need to come to the heavenly Joseph. He has laid up for you provision in his life and his death to meet the need of your soul. You need to come and eat of the bread of life, that you might live eternally. May God give you the grace to do that even this morning hour. Let's bow in prayer before we have a few verses of our closing hymn. Let's unite our hearts in prayer. Our Father and our God, we do rejoice there is bread enough and to spare in Christ Jesus. We thank thee, Father, that he is the capacity, O God, to, Lord, contain all that we need for life, even as your word says, and all things pertaining to life and godliness. We thank you, Father, all is found in him. And we thank thee, Father, that in our great insufficiency, we can draw from thy great sufficiency in Christ. Pray for all that are gathered. Lord, surely there's a word for all here this morning. For as we make our pilgrimage through this land, we can truly say we are poor and needy. We pray for thy children, Father. I pray that every day they will come to the greater Joseph and partake of all that he has laid up for them and draw from him freely. Think of those who are out of Christ. Speak to their hearts. O God, let the news, the good news, the report of the door of hope that is open for them in Christ Jesus. May they go and humble themselves, get down into the dust, O Father, and come to Christ and receive of the bread of life. We thank you for the one who came down from heaven. We thank you for the one who is manna to our souls. And we pray, O God, that as he has been presented through the preaching of the word this morning, that he would be exalted and glorified in every heart. Hear our prayer. These things we ask in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.